Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a journalist and a sex blogger, a speaker, a writer. I already said journalist and blogger. That's two different types of writers. Wow, this is what happens when I try to improvise my bio, eh? Real good. I have a sex blog. It's at girlyjuice.net. I write about sex, kink, relationships, psychology, that kind of thing. And I'm also the co-host of this year podcast. Who are you?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a blogger, a non-binary queerdo, a masochistic pup, a flirting fetishist, and a Hufflepuff. I love video games, ice cream, and leather, and I refuse to admit it's not 2007 anymore, and I pre-wrote my bio because I'm an anxious weirdo.
I mean, I've pre-written many bios. I just don't happen to be looking at any of them right now because I like to live dangerously. So, Bex, tell me. Are you feeling kinky today?
I'm feeling kinky every day, but I kind of want to answer no.
Yeah, I don't know why I asked you that in like a Vincent Price kind of voice, but it was creeping me out.
Yeah,
so the reason I'm
a little unsettling.
I'm not just asking you that apropos of nothing. Our show today is all about kink, and I know that's one of your favorite things, certainly one of my favorite things.
Yes.
So, let's get into it. What are some of the kinky identities that you inhabit?
So, like, the broad overarching thing, I'm submissive most of the time. So, I have this bratty tendency that every time I say that, everyone's like, oh yeah, totally, okay. But... And I never really know if I should read it as being, like, slightly switchy or just a brat. But that's a thing, and occasionally I get toppy feels, but primarily I'm submissive. And I wrote a whole post recently, if you read my blog, but I identify as a pup, too, which is a relatively new thing. That's... I don't know, 6 months old now at this point?
Yeah.
But it just kind of fits.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been submissive for a while, and of all the words people have called me, that's the one that, like, when I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, yep, that's, yes, that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of inhabits, like, it feels slightly similar to, like, a little's dynamic in that, like, the dominant is as much someone who, you know, tells you what to do and bosses you around and all that fun stuff, but is also, like, cares for you and...
Is nurturing.
Yeah, and that sort of thing. But a pup feels more rambunctious than a little, more... slightly more independent than a little, like, the way I distinguish it in real life, a little, like, needs their parents. You can't leave a little, like, a small human in the middle of the woods and they'll be fine. But, like, a dog will figure that shit out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, as a pup, it has slightly more independence and, like, they're also choosing to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, in a kink dynamic, everyone's choosing to be there.
Right.
But just that, like, persona kind of fits a little bit better for me, and it has more, like, loyalty and service mixed into it as well. Like, dogs are known for being loyal, and they're there because they care really deeply about pleasing the, you know, their handler, their sir, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, impressing them and everything, and that really plays into, like, the service aspect of my submission, which I also really identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like, you can't look at a pup and not smile. They're just, like, have you seen the way a room reacts when a, like, actual dog walks in?
Have you seen the way the room reacts when you walk in? I can't look at you when I'm smiling.
I mean...
So it fits.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, it's funny how, like, we talk about being sex brain twins, and I feel like at the time that we met, we were having a lot of the same feelings about submission, and then we've kind of split off in two different directions. Because you kind of went the pup and, like, service sub route. Like, I definitely have some service sub stuff, but I think kind of my main thing is to just be... I don't want to say a pillow princess because I'm, like, really a big fan of giving head, but usually if I'm in sort of, like, my little space where I'm sort of role-playing as a little girl, whether explicitly or implicitly, I'm kind of more of a bottom. I'm kind of having stuff being done to me, and then there'll be a blowjob somewhere in there. but yeah, I definitely do identify as, like, more so submissive. That's been going on for a long time for me. And I do like that kind of, like, nurturing dynamic, like you were saying, but for me that tends to manifest more as, like, a daddy dom little girl situation. And I kind of struggle with that, actually, because, like, the word daddy I don't really connect with, which I think kind of affects how I feel about that dynamic, but I still really like the feel of those two sort of archetypes.
Okay. All right, you talked a little bit about how you don't like the word daddy, and I know that was kind of a thing, because I feel like when you first came into that archetype, you almost treated it as if the word came with it, and, like, it felt like, well, I guess I like this thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that, like, you've come to terms with, like, well, nope, not that word. but what are some of the words you do like?
So, I have a tattoo on me that says, good girl, and I just got it last month at time of recording, and that's a really important phrase for me. I've written a lot about sort of what that means to me, and for me that's rooted not only in, like, being a nurtured and cared for submissive character, but also kind of my general orientation toward wanting to be the teacher's pet and wanting to impress authority figures, and that's just kind of like a deep-rooted personality trait of mine that I think exists independently of my kinks, but also is very much a part of them.
I remember the first time someone called you good girl, yeah. And you actually screamed.
Yep, it was a bit of a moment. It was sort of like, I'd seen it in erotica, and I think I never really, like, applied it to myself when I saw it in those contexts, and then someone texted me that, and I had a very strong reaction, and just kind of was like, well, I just learned something about myself. And I also really like being called princess and little one, and basically any nickname that someone like Veruca Salt might be called, like just a sweet little girl who's just, like, cared for by her father figure. And in terms of words for other people, I really like to call everybody sir. I just want to call everybody sir all the time. That's my fave. I like that better than daddy.
And I think it's important to note that both of us really like sir as, like, what to call other people. Mm-hmm. But we also, like, we use that non-gender specific, like, yeah. We will call cis women sir and be like, yes, please, yes, that's what...
Yeah, I did a shoot one time for Spit at Oasis, and I was shooting with Dane Joe, who is such a babe, and she uses she, her pronouns, and she's a cis lady, with occasional sort of delving into androgyny, but identifies as a cis lady, and before the shoot, like, I knew she was going to be topping me, and I was like, so what should I call you? Like, sir or miss? Or, like, I listed a few, but I really put sir, like, at the beginning because I was really trying to front load it in there and just be like, that's the one that I want. And then she was like,
should I call you sir?
Or how about, like miss sir or madame? Thing? Or, like, or sir or mademoiselle or, like... or sir or sir. So she was like, yeah, I really like the idea of you calling me sir. I really like the sort of gender bending aspect of that. And I was like, I also am fine with that, so yes.
Coincidentally, we could totally do that if you wanted to do the thing or something. Oh. But yeah, I really like that too. And a lot of, because I identify as non-binary, genderqueer, whatever, I have feelings about gender, mm-hmm. basically. So a lot of the words, like, I like being called, like, masculine words or masculine and feminine stuff interchangeably because I find it really, like, affirming. So, like, I'll like being called boy or, if I am feeling dommy, I like sir. I like being called pup, obviously, but that one, like, in an actual, like, scene type dynamic, only one person calls me that because otherwise it gets weird, but like casually other people have called me a pup. Mm-hmm. I like you said, little one. I like little before pretty much anything.
It's such a good word. It just slides right in there and fixes so many problems.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, it just makes you feel inherently smaller and submissive. Mm-hmm. In, like, such a good way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not... I don't think either of us really have a humiliation kink.
Nope.
Nope. But, like, so it's a good way of making you feel small and less than without making you feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that that's really, like, central to how I think about my kinks is that, like... I'm definitely not hating on people who do like to be sort of humiliated or degraded or whatever, but that's just, like, not really a part of it for me, and so...
Yeah, I'll cry.
Yeah. So I tend to...
not in a good way.
I like nicknames that are not put-downs, but also not really lifting me up either, just sort of, like, acknowledging that, yeah, I'm lower than you because I'm a little girl or I'm a submissive or whatever. I don't really like being called things like a slut or, like, a dirty whore or whatever, because, like, that's not really what does it for me, but I do like being made to feel smaller and less than in some sense.
Yeah, see, and, like, I don't have a problem with the word slut or whore or whatever. I like slut better. Mm-hmm. But because for me, like, that's not a humiliation thing. And I do, like, part of my service thing plays into the idea of, like, being used and existing exclusively to get a dominant off. Which, like, I've also been called, like, fucktoy and stuff like that, and that one's great. So, like, stuff like that is, I had a moment, stuff like that is really good, because it doesn't feel degrading and humiliating. Meanwhile, like, somewhat, like, the way I wrote about it in my post, I said, like, I love being someone's little toy, mm-hmm. as long as I'm their favorite toy.
Yeah, I really resonated a lot with that line because, like, I don't want to be just one of the pack. Like, part of my kink is, like, wanting to feel like this, like, special girl who's, like, above and beyond the other girls. I'm kind of just, like, a teacher's pet forever in my kinks as well as my real life. It's kind of a thing.
Yeah, like, yeah, and I can be owned, but, like, owned and used and, like, just exist as, like, a plaything or whatever, mm. but... I don't want to be told, like, I'm a bad plaything. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be like, God, why do I even keep you around? Like, that brand of humiliation. Mm-hmm. I would be like, but it's all I have. So, like, so, yeah, that's why those words, they don't feel humiliating to me. Like, it almost feels like a point of pride to be like, yeah, I exist exclusively for this, and I'm damn good at it, aren't I? Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm arrogant even when I'm 70.
So let's get into our kinky origin stories. We're big on origin stories here at the Dildorks.
We are. Yeah, so, but I think they're interesting.
I think so, like, too, yeah. I'm always curious about, like, how people first got started and stuff that's now such a big part of their life. Mm-hmm. So what's your origin story when it comes to kink?
Well, I think you know what story I'm going to tell, because mm-hmm. There's one specific one that's kind of funny, because I only... So I realized the pup thing. The first time I was ever called a pup was on Leap Day this year, which is the reason I remember what day it was. And I kind of got into it across the following month. So that was March, and it wasn't until, like, the end of April, almost May, that I kind of made this connection. Because I was sitting in, we were out to brunch on that time we went on a road trip to Minneapolis, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And we're all sitting around and talking about, like, weird childhood things, and I was like, yeah, you know, when I was a little kid, I spent, like, almost a year really invested in pretending to be a cat. Like, every day, all day, my mom made me, like, these little ears and a tail. She bought me a little dog bowl with my name on it and let me eat my pasta out of it. Like, no fork or anything. I just ate pasta out of a dog bowl. There's this story of my grandmother had been watching me, and I met her pastor, and my grandmother is this very, like, strict, uptight, you know, middle-class white lady with her, she goes to her, you know, strict church, and this was the pastor, and he was a big deal, and, I refused to say hello to him. I would only meow. And she just came back and brought me back to my mother and just told the story so angrily. And my mom was, and my mom just had to try not to laugh and was like, oh, that's very interesting that that happened. This, okay. but I was telling this story to you guys, and, this one friend of mine who, like, he was sitting next to me, and he just turns and looks at me, and he's like, wait. So, like, the whole pup thing was new to you? Like, that was a surprise? We didn't... And, like, I had never made the connection, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, I guess. I mean, yeah, all right. So, like, and that was, God, it was, what was I, like, 7 or 8 around the time of that? So, it's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. What about you? What do you remember from, like, when you were younger? And, like, kink things.
So, it's funny, because, like, I identified as vanilla until probably 2 years ago, or even less than that, which is really weird for me to think about now. But it was just because, like, all the sex that I had had was vanilla, and I had enjoyed it a lot. So I was like, oh, I guess, like, when I fantasized, it was about, like, getting fucked, or, like, someone going down on me. It was just, like, really vanilla stuff. So I just thought, like, that's really cool that other people have kinks and fetishes, but I totally don't. and then I kind of, like, I broke up with my, like, super long-term partner who was very vanilla, and I guess started to explore other avenues and think about other things. I didn't even have sex for, like, a year and a half after that, but I just sort of found myself fantasizing more about being more on the submissive side of things. So I had started seeing someone new who told me that he was moderately kinky, and he was dominant, and he liked being mean to people. He liked slapping people around and calling people sort of mildly degrading names and doing some degrading shit, like coming on their face and stuff like that. And that's, like, not exactly a good fit with my kinks, but it was, at the time, it was, like, so exciting and new to me. I was like, oh, that sounds so good. And still, like, I could go for that once in a while. That's not, like, central to what I'm into, but, like, I wouldn't mind someone, like, calling me a dirty slut and coming on my face.
I could take some yeah. come on my face every
could,
once in a while.
I could deal
while.
With it. Just, like, not in my eyes, please. And, like, don't fuck up my hair. Don't smear my eyeliner, you know.
Femme princess. Yeah.
So we had, like, these pretty intense, like, kink conversations, which now I consider pretty standard when I start seeing someone new, we'll have some sort of kink discussion, but I'd never really had that kind of discussion with someone before, where we actually just, like, laid out really clearly what we're into, what we're not into, yeses and nos and boundaries and all those sorts of things, and, we actually, I think we only had sex one time, and then we had a threesome where we didn't really have sex with each other in that threesome, but it was kind of enough to just sort of get me thinking, like, yeah, I definitely identify as a submissive. And that was the guy who first called me a good girl via text, and oh man that was a good time.
I think, like, the way you said that, like, you had kind of always, like, just fantasized about, like, vanilla stuff before this, mm-hmm. I think It's kind of interesting because for me, like, one of my biggest things is power exchange. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't always identify my, like, my fantasies as being kinky or as anything like that. Mm-hmm. But they always had some sort of power exchange or roughness to them. Mm-hmm. Which, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, that's kink, that's what that is. but, like, I think because that's so much more of a cerebral thing, mm-hmm. I think it was easier to not notice it at first.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, I had, like, for the first time recently, my mental health really impacted my kink, like, 2-3 months ago, and I, like, I know I told you about this at the time, but it was, like, I wasn't feeling power exchange. Mm-hmm. And then I was, like, well, all of, how do sex? What? My kink is gone. I don't know what, like, and that was when I realized how, like, integrated those two things
yeah.
were. How, like, sex and power exchange were the same thing
uh-huh.
for me. But, yeah, like, I was like, I don't feel submissive. Who am I? What is the world? How do... Is this what vanilla people feel like all the time?
It's the worst. How do they stand
this
it?
This is terrifying.
Yeah, I think a lot about that, about how, like, your kinks get so ingrained. Maybe not even get so ingrained, maybe just are always from the beginning so ingrained in your personality and in the way that you view the world. And so when you talk about, like, kinky origin stories, it's almost hard to, like, pick apart, like, what part of my childhood was kink and what part of it was just sort of, like, my developing personality, and are those things the same thing? Because, like, if I think back to my childhood through the lens of the kinks I have now, I see myself always having crushes on older men, like professors and teachers, people who taught me music lessons, stuff like that. I always had crushes on these older men, and I always had this sensation of, like, I'm too young for them, but that was kind of what was exciting to me about them. They were so much more mature than me. I wanted to feel nurtured and supported by them, and
that, like, mentor persona,
right? And I
was always a thing. I was like, yes, you should teach me all the things. Mm-hmm. That's yes.
Yeah, and, like, at the time I wondered if it was related to, like, what they call daddy issues, which is a phrase that I kind of hate, because, like, my relationship with my dad has sometimes been tumultuous, and I wondered if I was, like, seeking, you know, replacement father figures. But I really don't think in retrospect that that's what it was. I think I was just, like, into the dynamic of, like, impressing someone who I perceived to be older and smarter and wiser than me, and just kind of that exciting feeling of, like, sticking out from the crowd and having them notice me. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, so the next thing we wanted to talk about is kind of how our kinks have changed, but I think we're kind of getting into that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, I have, like, developed new things, and, like, I don't really feel like my kinks have particularly changed in the way, like you said, you used to identify as vanilla and then just don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's been more like I found out something existed and then was like, oh, well, I guess I'm into that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So, like, that, and, like, I also had a lot of things that I would find out about the kink and be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I kind of get that, I kind of feel that. I mean, I don't think it's a sex thing, but, like, when I found out the pup thing, I was like, okay, I like feeling like a pup, I like feeling nurtured and loved and getting pets and, like, feeling cared for, and, yeah, that could be a persona I inhabit, whatever, but I mean, I don't think it's a kink thing. I don't think I'm into it that way. And then 3 weeks later, I was like, nope, this is a kink thing. Okay, this is sex. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is interesting to me to see that, like, I've had so many kinks where when I first get into them, I'm like, oh, this is just a thing that I'm, like, detachedly interested in and can sort of appreciate from a distance. But then the more that I get into it, the more that it actually gets absorbed into my kinks and actually starts to be something that turns me on. And I don't know if that's like association of that thing with pleasure over time, or if I just like am drawn to something because it is in my kinks, like buried deep in there, and it just takes me a while to recognize that that's what's going on. But like, I really feel like that happened for me with blowjobs and spanking. And like, I hesitate to call blowjobs a kink because they're a vanilla sex act, but I do definitely like perceive them as being imbued with kink in the way that I enjoy them, which is...
Well, and I think it's interesting, like, when you talk, people who identify as vanilla tend to round stuff down to vanilla, mm-hmm. whereas people that identify as kinky, I feel like round stuff up to kinky, mm-hmm. where, like, I have kind of a suit fetish. I like people in suits, people of all genders. It's, they look great. it's just a thing. Especially, like, you know, people in suits when I'm naked or something like that. Like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But, having a moment. But, I think, like, a vanilla person would just be like, I think people wearing suits are really attractive. Like, I think it's a good look for someone who is put together, who knows how to have, like, a well-matched, well-fitted suit that looks good on mm-hmm. them. Meanwhile, I'm like, no, that is one of my fetishes, is
right.
really nice suits, you know? So I think blowjobs are kind of the same way for you, like...
Yeah.
Or at least...
It's true. I had this one, like, super awkward conversation with my mom one time. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this on the podcast, but all I'm gonna say is that we were talking about blowjobs because I have a song that mentions blowjobs, and she was like, wow, you sure do have a lot of songs that mention blowjobs in them, which I do. and I was like...
That should be your next album title. Wow, you sure do have a lot of songs about blowjobs.
Can't believe one of these isn't about blowjobs.
Sure do. Sure do.
But I didn't really know how to respond to that, so I was just kind of like, yeah, blowjobs are great. and she was like, I also think blowjobs are great. And we talked about blowjobs in this, like, very detached way for, like, a minute, where...
Objectively, I have heard good things about blowjobs.
And I was just thinking, like, I feel like a lot of people who enjoy giving head, who are more vanilla-oriented, maybe it's more about pleasing their partner, or maybe it's more about sort of the tactile feeling of the dick in their mouth, and, like, those are all great things. We're gonna get really deep into this in our blowjobs episode, for sure, but, but for me, like, most of my enjoyment of that act is a sense of being useful, and, giving pleasure to someone in a way that is selfless, and in a way that, makes me seem like, you know, special little girl, teacher's pet, blah, blah, blah. I've said that a whole bunch of times.
And
it's weird because, like, I never really used to be that into giving head with my vanilla partner, and then I got into it when I started incorporating kink into it.
Yeah, see, that, like, I've always been into blowjobs, and I don't know if it was always a power exchange thing, like... So I think I distinctly remember where my blowjob obsession started, but it was an erotica story I read, like, back in high school in, like, I don't know, sophomore year or something, mm-hmm. I was a little baby, that I read about, and it was this short little story, about a guy sitting at his desk at work, and... someone under the table giving him a blowjob, and, like, people came into the office and he had to, like, talk to them and not, like, reveal what was happening. And I was just like, yep, okay, this is, a kink has been born. Da-da! There was glitter. It was a whole moment. Rainbows appear? I don't know if you know. But yeah, so, like, I think my blowjob thing has always been kind of, like, a service-y type thing. Yeah, I mean, okay, so we've talked a lot about blowjobs, and I feel like that's just gonna be how this podcast goes. Mm-hmm. Not this episode, just the life of the entire project. It's just a lot of blowjobs. Mm-hmm. And we've mentioned some other stuff, but what are, like, your kinks? Like, what are the activities that you consider your main kinks?
So, I'm pretty into spanking.
Yeah.
It's a thing that I like. It's weird because it's one of the rare activities that I can happily be a bottom or a top for, and I'm kind of fine either way. Like, I do lean towards bottoming, but it's kind of just, I kind of just have a craving for the act itself a lot of the time. I'm also really into blowjobs. We've spoken enough about blowjobs. And I really like being like...
We've never spoken enough about blowjobs.
No, never enough. I really like being held down and feeling immobilized. And I tend to like that more when it's like an actual human body holding me down rather than like bondage. Although bondage can be fun too. But I really like having a hand on my chest holding me still, or having my arms held over my head. I don't know why I'm acting this out as if the podcast listeners can see it, but that one's just for you, Bex.
Oh. So I think this is really interesting, because I think we have a lot of overlap on our main kinks, mm-hmm. But again, they kind of split off in slightly different facets. Mm-hmm. So... obviously I mentioned, like, power exchange is my big thing, and in that, like, I really like playing with, like, service and that sort of thing, but, so I'm also into spanking, but for me, like, it's, I do not like being a spanking top, I'm only a bottom, and I almost feel weird using the word spanking. Like, a lot of times I'll refer to it as taking, like, a beating or something.
Yeah.
Because spanking feels so focused on the ass. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I like getting my ass hit. Sure. but I'm also really about getting hit in my torso. Like, all along my back. I like getting hit in the chest. Like, really deep, like, deep thuddy punches and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Along my thighs and whatever. So for me, impact play in general is like more of a full body thing, mm-hmm. and I like just like really getting the crap beaten out of me. And especially thuddy stuff like punches, or like I have this paddle from Oxballs that's really cool.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. But I do also like slightly stingier stuff, like that clear paddle that you got me. Mm-hmm. And that stone crop that we have that is brutal. And for me, some of it is the sensation, but a big part of it is, like, look at this shit I can endure.
Yeah.
Like, look at how much I just took. And again, it's kind of a service thing. It's like... I'm especially into it if the person hurting me likes hurting me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, look at what I can take for you, that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And I also really like restraint and being held down. But for me, like, it can be bondage, it can be another person, it can be any of those things. It's more about having something to struggle against.
Mm.
So I'll even like grappling with another person, or like fighting slightly before submitting,
yeah.
You know, where it's like feeling that tension that I'm like pushing against, and now I'm acting it out, and giving something to like pull and like fight against, I think is where my restraint kind of kink comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And what is on your list of, like, kinks that you're really interested in but haven't gotten to play with yet? Because I know we both have some of those.
Yeah, for sure. So, earlier this year, I had anal sex for the first time.
Woo!
Yeah, it was good. I've only done it one time, and that was the only time. And that was with a partner who is super vanilla and gets anxious about being toppy. And I kind of, I would like to play with that with more of a kink spin to it. Because I liked it, but I could tell that I would like it so much more if I felt like I was doing it to make someone happy. Because, like, my partner at that time, quite understandably and quite reasonably, was making it all about me and all about how much I could take, which is great. Like, you definitely want that kind of partner for your first anal sex experience. But a lot of my kinks are about being pushed because the other person wants to push me. And so there was no sense of that.
Yeah, that, like, I think I feel the same way about, like, my spanking. But, like, even stuff like that, 'cause I'm about, like, size and girth and whatever I take, and that kind of thing, and just that, like, come on, just take a little bit more for me, kind of thing. So that, I definitely get that.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I'm mainly thinking about lately is fisting, which is kind of the same idea. Like, I think kink-wise, I would probably do better with a more dominant partner doing that to me for the first time, because I think if left to my own devices, I would probably back off as soon as it started to get even slightly uncomfortable. And I kind of need someone to be like, no, you could totally handle it. Because I know I can. I just need to, you know, be pushed through that. And so I'm having a lot of feelings about who I want my first fister to be, which I know we've talked about a lot before. And I think I want it to be someone kind of dummy. Yeah. So what's on your list?
So, as you know, fisting is, like, right at the top of my list, too, and I have a lot of feelings about, like, who I want to fist me and that sort of thing.
We just fist bumped because this is a podcast.
Fist bumped via Skype. Like, we're not in the same room. We basically just both punched our computers.
I would never hurt my computer. I only pretended to punch it.
Oh. Shit, I didn't know that. It'll be okay, computer. No, I'm just petting your face. Okay. Definitely fisting. But for me, part of it would be a service thing. Part of it is, like, look at what I can do for you. But part of it is just, like, look at what I can fucking do. And just being able to accomplish something so impressive and push my body to, like, I don't want to say limits, but kind of that, like, above and beyond what it can do, you know, what factory model me can do and what I can, like, learn to achieve and overcome and that sort of thing. I also just really like the way girth feels in me, and fists are pretty girthy. The other two things I had that I like that came to mind immediately with things I want to try is suspension and fire play.
Oof, okay.
Because those are both things that every time I see them happening, I like squeal and my face lights up and I turn into this like giddy child where I'm like, oh my god, look, they have fire. And it just like, and to me, that's kind of a sign that, like, oh, maybe I should try that. And I remember with suspension, I had always been like, oh, that's pretty, that's cool, that's all right, maybe that's a thing I want to do. But I went to Vegas last year for a work thing, so I'm with a bunch of vanilla work friends of mine. And I went on the zip line where you fly prone, like Superman style. So they put you in this chest harness, lay you down, put you in this chest harness, hook something to your back, and then the ground comes out from under you and all of a sudden you're hanging. And the second it happened, and it was all like, all of my weight was across my chest in this tight harness thing, and I was hanging face down, and I just started giggling and like, it felt like I was high, like instant subspace. And my friend looks over at me and like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. This is totally normal. It's fine. Okay. And then, like, we flew down the Vegas Strip, so there was, like, the neon lights alongside us and everything. It was really, really cool. And we were, like, don't know, 6 stories in the air, something like that. So it was really fun, but we got off and I was looking at everyone else like, can we do it again? Oh my god, that was so much fun. Wasn't that fun? Isn't that great? Didn't you guys love that? Wasn't that great? And they were like, it was cool. No, we can't do it again. It was $40.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, but please. So yeah, that was kind of where I was like, okay, suspension is a thing I should try. And I was like, I texted like some kinky friends of mine that I knew would get it and was like, hi, I just had an accidental scene with a zipline. Can I have aftercare? Can someone process this with me? Because this was not intentional.
It's nice that you have friends you can do that with.
Yeah, totally. But, yeah, so that's kind of, those are on my list of, like, things I really want to try.
Cool. Well, okay, let's do Fuck That, Fuck Yeah.
Woo!
This is our segment where we tell you something sexual that is bumming us out and something that is making us really happy this week. What is your fuck that?
Oh, good. Start with the one I wasn't sure about.
You want me to go first?
No, it's fine. I got this. It's fine. So my fuck that is probably going to be anxiety, because my anxiety has been real crummy the past few days, and, like, I've been kind of in, like, a low-level panic state for 3 or 4 days right now, where I'm just scared of everything and nothing all at the same time. Like, oh, it's just the world is terrifying. That's cool. Mm. Great way to go through life. A lot of times my anxiety, like, fixates on something, and it's like, oh, I'm anxious about XYZ, and I just, like, blow it out of proportion. But lately, it's just been focused on nothing, which has made it really hard to kind of fix or handle. Because I can't be like, oh, that thing you're scared of, it's not a big deal. Remember, like, think rationally, remember the facts you know. You know, everyone doesn't hate you because you have this list of nice things people have said about you, or whatever. Like, I'm not scared of anything in particular, I'm just scared. So I've kind of really been taking advantage of the way that being submissive and kink helps kind of soothe that anxiety for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even just the simple act of wearing my collar feels really comforting, and, like, restraints can feel like even just a collar, which isn't really a restraint, but, like, feeling it there against me can feel, I guess, almost in the way a tight hug can feel comforting. Mm-hmm. It just feels like
it's grounding,
soothing in that way. Yeah, exactly. And it gives me, like, I'll tug on it or whatever, which is, like, just a reminder. And it also symbolizes to me, like, a feeling of being owned and that sort of thing, which is really comforting to me because, like, a pup doesn't have to worry about anything except taking care of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doing the one thing that they're supposed to do. And it's kind of helps focus my mind. And I also find completing tasks and getting little things done, like writing out a to-do list and crossing off things like make the bed and, like, really little simple things is also really fulfilling to me in, like, that service way, and it helps me kind of break down what needs to be done and feel really good about myself for accomplishing things, especially if I have someone kind of holding me accountable for it. So I can be like, I finished 12 things today, and maybe one of those things was make yourself a meal because you haven't eaten in a long time. But it was a thing that I did, and it scared me for some inane reason, but I did it, and someone's gonna tell me, like, how great I am for doing that thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I've really used kink as a way to kind of help manage this weird thing that's happening to me lately. Lately, it's been happening forever, but it special little framework around this week.
Yeah, I've done a lot of like writing and multimedia stuff around kink and mental health, because like for me too, it's like a really significant thing. I get a lot of like anxiety and depression stuff that spanking helps a lot with, or like a productivity dom, like someone who checks in to see how much you've been accomplishing. I find that really helpful too. So my fuck that is people who think that my kinks are like a password to my vagina. And I really hate this, and I've been encountering it more and more as I've been blogging more about kink stuff, because more people are seeing my blog before we have sex for the first time, or before we sexed for the first time, or whatever. And it's this really annoying thing where it's always dudes. It's always dudes. they think that because I've written about, you know, liking to be called a good girl or liking to be spanked or whatever, that basically if they, like, mention that thing, that I'll, like, suddenly get turned on and be into them. And it's just, that's not how it works. Like, I have to like you. We have to have a rapport. We have to have some kind of dynamic. And like, especially with the good girl thing, that's not a password. You should say that when I've earned it. I hate it so much when people, like, just throw it in all the time for no reason because they think that the phrase itself turns me on. It's the being deserving of the phrase that turns me on.
Yeah. And I don't, like, I've even seen people, like, tweet it at you when you're like, I did a thing, and someone you've never talked to is like, good girl, and you're like, who? No. What?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes that's okay if it's, like, someone who I tweet with fairly often and I feel like we have some kind of connection, but yeah. There is an element of, like, non-consensual grossness that happens when someone tweets that at me, because, like, whether or not it's a sexual thing to them, it is one to me, and it feels a little bit out of context gross when they do that. Ugh.
Yeah, I've also had people, like, use that phrase or other phrase in, like, non-sexy ways, but they're sexy phrases to me, and they've been, like, gross dudes catcalling me or something like that, and I'm like, ah, you don't, no, you don't get that word. That is not your word. Yeah. That is, no. Ugh. Mm-mm. Like, ugh, and that's always, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what's your fuck yeah?
This one I definitely knew the answer for, because my birthday was last week now, but I went to Toronto, I spent last weekend with you, it was great.
It was the best.
So good. But we had a birthday party, which, because I'm me, was a spanking party, and I've told a few people about this since then, and they've just been like, well, yeah, okay, yeah.
Of course. What else would it be?
Naturally. So I had a bunch of my friends from Toronto over, and I got hit 25, I turned 25, so I got hit 25 times from each person, and then we also let people buy extra spank, because we live broadcasted it, because we're bloggers, and that's what we do, and I let people who were watching, because I'm also an exhibitionist, I don't know how I haven't mentioned that yet at all, but hi, look at me, I'm great and cute. But yeah, so I'm an exhibitionist, and I had a lot of people, well, a handful of people watching, and that were able to, like, buy extra spanks and choose which implements they hit me with and that sort of thing, which was also a lot of fun.
It was so fun.
And it just, like, we estimated that I had something like 350 times that I was hit, because we lost count, because I was getting hit. And, but it was just, like, it was really amazing just the fact that I had that many friends that are just totally cool with me being like, hi, come, please come kick the shit out of me for my birthday. And they're all just like, yeah, I would love to do that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so amazing to me that I have created this community and this life, that is a thing that I can do. And it felt awesome to really endure something like that, surrounded by people who, like, I love and who know love me and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And also, on top of all of that, one of the people that was watching was a long-distance dom of mine, and it was the first time he really saw me get beat and really saw me in pain. So that was really, really cool. And, like, most of the... Because... We talk about spanking as a kink thing, but we've also done, like, you've spanked me a lot, mm-hmm. and when we do it, it's platonic.
Yeah,
like,
it's just not... non-sexual, goofy spanking.
Yeah, and that's how most of this was, but every once in a while, I'd get a text from this dom, which definitely is a sexy thing, and he'd tell me, you know, like, how much he likes the noises I make when people hit me, or, you know, what a... good pup I was being by taking so much and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really cool too, to kind of have that mixed in. Or periodically I'd get a text that would tell me, like, what bruises I should have where, and I'd have to find someone and be like, hey, could you maybe hit me with that thing over there? Because I'm supposed to. So, like, the combination of, like, this awesome friendship and, like, community that I had, and also, like, this other thing where this person who I really like got to see me, like, really vulnerable and also really powerful all at the same time, was all really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, so I had, you know, we kind of stopped towards the end because I was starting to slip into subspace. And everyone at the party was in various states of intoxication, like, their people had been drinking or smoking, and they were just all distracted and talking to each other. And I really felt like, as someone who was receiving such a lot of sensation, I needed to be in a place of control in that kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if it was a one-on-one thing, I would have felt fine slipping into subspace. But because there was so much going on, I was like, hey, I can't really control this in a way that I need to be safe, so we're gonna kind of cut it off. But then, like, I was able to be in, like, this comfy, fuzzy subspace, like, surrounded by people who, like, surrounded by my friends, and, like, they all took turns, like, cuddling me, and you gave me chocolate, and, like, because spankings are like Dementors. It was just really, really cool, and felt like this really substantial experience. And then the next day, when I was still kind of subspacey, I took all of the money that, well, some of the money I got from that, and went and got a lip piercing, which I've wanted for almost 10 years now.
So. That looks so great.
So, what's your fuck yeah?
So, kind of the flip side of what I was just saying about, people who do kink flirting badly, is people who do kink flirting really goodly. people who, yeah. Like, it's such a thing where, like, there's this Sinclair Sexsmith blog post that I love that's called something like How to Flirt as a Submissive, and I had never really thought of that before I read that post, and now I just kind of notice it all the time, like, people flirting with me who know I'm a submissive, but are being very respectful about it and are approaching it very carefully. Like, just little things like, someone recently, like, demanded a selfie from me, and I kind of, like, bratted at him. I was like, why should I send you a selfie? Like, what have you done to earn it? And he was like, he shot back with some kind of, like, command, basically. Like, he was like, go do it now. And we had that dynamic, so, like, that was weirdly hot to me, but it was also just the fact that I knew that if I told him, like, actually, I don't really want to, that he would, like, back the fuck off immediately. Mm-hmm. And there are such, like, subtle ways of flirting as, like, a part of a DS dynamic. Like, I remember I was dating this guy one time, and we went to the movies together, and he knew all about my, like, little girl kink and whatever. So, like, I bought my movie ticket, and then he came up beside me and said to the person who was selling us the tickets, he was like, I'll have whatever this little lady here just bought. And just kind of smiled at me. And he knew that I was having feelings about him calling me a little lady, like, especially in public. But it was, like, subtle and respectful. So I really like it when people are able to work kink into their flirting in a way that's, like, cute and not too heavy-handed.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, a really fun line to play on, and also, like, can be a kind of a tricky balancing act, especially with the public stuff, mm-hmm. like, finding a way to respectfully be kinky while not being kinky in a way that is non-consensually including other people.
Right.
'Cause I think that can be a tricky thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, being able to play with that in a way, like, it's really cool, and it also displays, like, a lot of cleverness and wit.
Yeah.
That's really hot.
Yep, and, like, social intelligence and just a sense of nuance. Ugh, it's super hot.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, that's gonna do it for us.
I do, before we totally wrap up, want to kind of verbally flail for a little bit about the fact that we just launched this week, like 2 days ago or 3 days ago at time of recording, and you guys are super rad.
Yeah, it honestly was such an outpouring of love and, like, way more support than I was even expecting. Like, I kind of thought you guys would be like, oh, I like these people's blogs and their tweets, but I don't care about them enough to, like, check out their podcast. That's a lot of, like, extra commitment and effort. But, like, you guys really brought it, and, oh, it made us so happy. Thank you.
Yeah, like, I kind of thought it would be more like, oh, look, these people have done a new thing. Cool. You know? But, like, everyone's so excited and nice to us.
So sweet. So let's wrap up a little bit. Where can folks find you on the internet, Bex?
I blog at BexTalkSex.com. I'm BexTalkSex on Twitter and Instagram, although I'm much more active on Twitter.
Okay. My website is girlyjuice.net. I'm on Twitter at girly_juice. That's also my name on Instagram. Man, I wish I'd been able to get those without the underscores, but what can you do? It's the internet. and our podcast is thedildorks.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at thedildorks. And we're also on iTunes and, like, a whole bunch of other things now, so if you want to subscribe to us, please, by all means. You can also write us reviews on iTunes.
Yes, and those make us smile, and they're also really good for, like, making our podcast show up other places so new people can find us. So, but more importantly, they make us smile.
Yeah.
you can also email us at thedildorks@gmail.com if you have any feedback, questions, comments, whatever, that we can maybe talk about on the show.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And until next time, go out there and live your dorky, sexy life.
Bye.
Bye. I want you in the morning. Let's stay with me. Let's go with yes. Every intro is just me giggling forever. It's the worst.
Excellent.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. Let's get into it. Welcome to... Stop. I'm
trying. Let's get into it here. Some serious business.
Podcasts are real important. Deep. Okay. Man, I had a little weed before this, like a little bit, and I feel good.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah, it's fine. Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse about sex, dating, and masturbating. I want to try that one more time because that was terrible. I'm sorry. I'm fine.
Okay. It's fine. This is why I made it your job.
Yeah. Yep. Good.